This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. When was the last time you thought about your bones? Yeah, me too. We kind of take them for granted. They're there, hidden inside of us, holding us up, forming the structure that shapes the way we move and look. But bones should be thought of every once in a while because we can harm them in some rather surprising ways. Dr. James Markham, founder and director of HeartWise Ministries, is here to talk about bones with us today. Dr. Markham, the time is yours.
Hey, well, thanks, Charles. I'm glad to be here. And you know, it's something that's very important, and yet we don't talk a lot on medical programs about bones. Yep. But bones is important because there's a modern medical component, there's a preventive component, and there's a large nutritional component. And just to sort of give our audience sort of a glimpse of the problems, you know, right now, the odds of a person over the age 50 that a woman breaking a bone is 1 in 2.
So if
you're a woman over the age of 50, there's a 50% chance you will break your bone before you die.
That's not good.
No. And if you're a man, the same age over 50, there's a 1 in 4 chance you're going to break your bone. Wow. And if you think about percentages for a man, that's higher than the risk of a man developing prostate. Okay. And everyone's heard this term osteoporosis. Another name is just think of that as weak bones or brittle bones. But it's estimated that 10 million in America have brittle bones. And all around the world, more and more people are getting brittle bones. And we're going to talk about why they're getting brittle bones as we go on. And unfortunately, out of those 10 million people that have osteoporosis or the weakest bone, another 43 million have weak bones, you know, osteopenia. That's not as weak as osteoporosis, but osteopenia means weak bones. So those people with weak bones have a greater chance of fracturing their bones. And I take care of a lot of elderly people, Charles, and when someone in their 80 breaks a bone, especially a hip bone, that is a big deal. Not only does it hurt their mobility, it's hard to recover. There's also bleeding involved. The healing process takes time. The older person gets. So that's a lot of people. Now, caring for this is very expensive, and that costs about $19 billion from all this bones.
Yeah.
So this is something that's very worth us talking about today, and there's quite a few questions that have come into our website about bones, what makes them weak, how to get them stronger, and I thought we would sort of tackle those today. And so if someone's out there over at age 50, we want to decrease the chance of you having a fracture. If you have a fracture, we don't want to have another one. We want to give you some good advice today about how to keep your bones strong and healthy, and pass this on to your friends and neighbors because they will want to have the same information so they can keep their bones strong. Hey, Charles, have you ever broken a bone?
I have never broken a bone. I have bent a bone. Yeah. I have bruised a bone, but thank goodness I have not broken a bone. And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Markham, if we have weak bones and if we look in the mirror, can we see that we have weak bones? Does it hurt to have weak bones as we're standing there?
That's a great question, Charles, and that's a good one for all of us. But once we get over the age of 50, that's when we start to age. And we age a little bit faster over that. And a woman, for instance, loses about 15% of their bone density in the 5 to 7 years after menopause. Okay. Now, men don't lose it quite as fast, but they're still at risk. So often this is a disease, a hidden disease. We don't even know our bones getting weak until something happens. So you can look at an x-ray. An x-ray will show us if the bone mineralization is decreasing. But most people find out either from a x-ray or they break a bone.
Yeah.
Now, there's a fancy test that they used to do a lot of in the doctor's office, and that was called bone densitometry, where they would measure your bone mass and give you a score. score and tell you basically if you had full-blown osteoporosis, which would put you at the greatest risk, or osteopenia, which was a little bit weak bone, they would give you a score for that. Mm-hmm. But they quit paying for that in doctor's offices, so doctor's office says, hey, no money, I'm not going to do this anymore. So they quit doing it. So now they only really do it in hospitals. And, you know, a lot of people didn't want to do that because of, you know, there is a small risk of radiation.
Sure.
So if you did want to really know about your bone mass, you could always, you know, get that test done, usually at a hospital. And the risk of it, as far as radiation, the risk of getting one of those tests done is the same radiation risk as you would get in flying on a round trip in an airplane between New York and San Francisco.
All right.
Okay. Now, actually, that would actually expose you to more radiation. So it's not a big radiation. But I tell people, let's all assume that our bones are a little bit weak because we're aging, and let's do everything we can to make them stronger. Then we won't have to worry about these tests. Then we won't have to be so concerned about our bones being weak and fracturing so easily.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. Is this age-related bone loss, irregardless of exercise level and diet and everything, it just happens across the board?
Yes, it happens, but the rate it happens is different, okay? If we're a couch potato that eats a poor diet, we're going to accelerate bone loss.
Gotcha. Okay.
But if we're a person that does these things that we're going to talk about, exercises, eat that really healthy diet, eat a diet that what we call as an alkaline diet and not an acidic diet, and we'll explain that a little bit later, if we do those things, we optimize the loss of our bones. You know, I wish, Charles, none of us would ever age and gradually deteriorate. But unfortunately, as time goes on, our bodies slowly get older. Things start to happen. But we want them to start to happen as slowly as they possibly can. And we don't want to bring a lot of things on ourselves. So that was a great question.
Okay. Now, so we will assume that as we cross that 50-year-old threshold, and I can look back at that one, as we cross that threshold, we can assume that that process is beginning, and we don't want to accelerate it without exercise and without diet. So how about before that? Can a younger person, a 30-year-old person, know if he or she is losing bone?
Yeah, they can. And you can get that on the same x-ray if the bone breaks easily and it keeps breaking. But, you know, a question that comes up quite a bit is, why do the bones break in the first place?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the things in a young person, they break easily because they haven't sometimes a person hasn't developed enough and they haven't reached their optimal mass of their bones.
Mm.
So younger people, you know, their bones aren't as strong, you know, so they tend to not have enough bone. Of course, older people tend to break bone because their bones are getting brittle.
Right.
Now, you reach your peak bone mass at about age 25.
Okay.
That's when your bones are about as strong as they're ever going to be. Now, this is interesting, but 80% of your bone mass is genetically determined.
Ooh.
So a large amount of how strong your bones are runs in your family.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
If someone in your family has weak bones and brittle bones, then, you know, chances are you're going to have to be more careful with your bones. And if you have a nice, strong genetic bones, then that's going to be great for you. About 20 to 30%, though, is directly related to lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And the lifestyle that we want is mainly focusing on exercise and good nutrition.
All right. So a young person can look at his history, his family history, and if there's weakness there, they should do what? What can we do as a young person, and I'm assuming that we do the same thing as an older person, that can strengthen those bones?
Yes. And one thing is build muscle, okay? We want muscle around those bones to be strong because resistance on muscle helps build up our bone mass.
Oh,
so that's one thing that will help. And then we talked about nutrition, and we really want people to get calcium in their body, calcium and magnesium. Those are some things that help build up our bone mass. Vitamin D is right there as an important thing for bones being strong. Unfortunately, you know, we talk about it like it's no big deal, but Charles, a lot of people don't have much muscle in them.
Yeah.
They don't have much calcium in them.
Yeah.
They don't have vitamin D in them, and they don't move around much. Remember, our original design was not to sit at a computer desk on a computer texting all day.
Yes.
That doesn't do a lot for our muscles. That doesn't do a lot for our bones.
So when we have bones and we wrap those bones in strong muscles, the presence of the muscles, and of course the exercises that go along with that building of the muscles, that's what's good for the bone. is it like bending and stretching that bone?
Absolutely, Charles. And you know, you can't get a muscle without moving the bone.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
So that sort of goes together. You know, your muscle gets bigger because you're moving the bone, and it puts resistance on it. And then you don't really get big muscles if you don't eat good food.
That's true.
So it all sort of works together. But our society over the last 50 years, you know, two things that really hurt us bad is we don't move and walk. Yeah. We sit at desk all day long. We don't do anything. Yeah. And, you know, this has to be dear to writers and interviewers. You know, what do they do all day? You know, come on. I know you guys just sit around and write, but you should get up and move around the room at least every hour.
You know, Dr. Markham, I have listened to you long enough that I have a routine that when I find myself sitting for more than 30 minutes, I get up and go over and hug my wife or go play with the dog and then come back. I do something. I've listened to you.
You know, and a lot of people out there are driving cars all day. We have a lot of people that drive trucks and listen to these radio programs. Well, you know, you have to figure out if you can't stop the big rig that you're driving right now, at least move around, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be dangerous, of course, but find ways to move all the spot. Put some resistance on those muscles. It's not so much a heavy exercise routine, but it's a moving routine. Mm-hmm. Move all the joints. Move things that you normally don't move. But think about it, because it's going to make a big difference in the resistance on the bones. And you know, if you think about last 50 years, we quit doing that.
Yes, we did.
Most of our jobs, we sit behind computer desks. Yeah. We sit at desk all day, and sometimes people don't move at all. And when we don't move at all, that's going to pull down our bones, and that's why we're seeing more, you know, the statistic, 1 in 2 women, 1 in 4 men over 50, you're going to break a bone. Mm-hmm. So that's why we see these statistics, because we're not moving. A second reason is our nutrition. Mercy, Charles, you know, I know you have interviewed the biggest names in nutrition, and you've talked to them all, and I can't tell you how many people that I've heard say we're not on the right road in nutrition. Mm-hmm. And not only does nutrition affect the heart, affects cancer, but it's a big component of bone health. And if you don't have good nutrition, you're going to have terrible bones. And I think one of our questions talked about some nutritional issues, and we're going to give people some really good things that they can eat that will help their bones. But the first point we want to make is, if you're sitting there, start moving, shake your arms, move your heads, move your legs up and down, get something going, and this will help your skeleton, which will help your bones. If you move your bones and don't break them, you're going to help your heart out, you're going to get your blood flowing good, it's going to help your brain look good. You're going to have less memory problems. You're going to think better. It's just going to change everything.
All right, get moving. We're going to take a short break, and this is a good opportunity for you, listener, to get up and walk around the room during the break. We'll have something for you to listen to during this time. And when we come back, more on the nutritional aspect of preventing bone loss and bone brittleness, and also a question that came in about losing height. What's that got to do with osteoporosis? The answer is a lot. So stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I talk to patients every day who want to know the truth in healthcare. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, you can have your questions answered. You can read my blog where I talk about interesting and controversial subjects in medicine. You might choose to go to the radio or television sections and learn more about all sorts of health topics. Take the time and go to heartwiseministries.org.
This is ADRA's world, a world where billions of our global neighbors lead lives of denied opportunities. Their reality is poverty, hunger, devastation, illiteracy, and sickness, much of which is preventable. It's overwhelming, but the Adventist Development and Relief Agency International, or ADRA, cannot hide from this reality. ADRA responds because God calls each of us to reach out to a world of hurt to alleviate the suffering of even the least of these sisters and brothers. It's the gospel of Christ in work boots. Would you like to help? Here's how. Pick up the phone and call this number, 1-800-424-ADRA. That's 1-800-424-2372. Or visit www.adra.org. ADRA. Changing the world one life at a time.
Why am I sick?
How can I get off my medications?
How do I get better?
How can I have ultimate healing?
The Ultimate Prescription by Dr. James L. Markham answers these questions and introduces the reader to the ultimate prescription for our lives. This book is available at your local bookstore or online at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. James Markham, cardiologist, and today talking about bones. All these things are connected: the heart, the weight loss, the bones, the kidney, the liver, all of our organs. They're all connected together because what helps one helps them all. And Dr. Markham, there was a question that came in to heartwiseministries.org about losing height. And here it is. If I am losing height, does it mean that I am having fractures in the spine? And that's got to hurt. What's going on?
Well, most people that have fractures in the spine, and this is a very common thing that I see in the elderly, because we talked about weak bones.
Yes.
And weak bones in the spine, the disc and that, they have problems. Most of them have pain, okay? But a lot of people say, well, if I'm losing height as I get older, does that mean I'm having silent fractures and my vertebrae getting smaller? Well, that's not necessarily so, because as we get older, we actually lose the height because we lose water in the disc space.
Hmm.
You know, that's the cushions between the vertebrae.
Yeah.
Now, the vertebrae is the bone pot.
Yeah.
But as we get older, you lose about an inch and a half of height just to the water loss that you have.
Okay.
If you lose much more than that, then you might be having compression fractures. But most people that have compression fractures feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel pain when they do things. It's a back thing. You know, of course, an x-ray will show if they've had a fracture. But it's natural to lose water loss in those disc space. And that's why we actually lose our height.
You know, there was a question that also came in, yeah, Dr. Markham, concerning fractures and brittleness of bones. When we fall, when we stumble, when we lift and whatnot like that, should we become more attuned to doing these things? Should we lift less weight? Should we walk up fewer stairs? Should we carry smaller weights as we get older?
Yeah, that's a great question. And Charles, the answer to that is actually yes.
Mm.
We need to be more careful the older we get for a couple of reasons. Even if we think we're doing well, our balance system is not as good. Our bone system is not as good. So we're at a higher risk of falling. And remember, we've lost a certain amount of genetic bone,
right,
that's happened. We've lost a lot through the aging process. So you know, as we get older, it's a little bit risky. And I have a lot of people that I take care of, Charles, that are between 80 and 100 years old,
mm-hmm,
okay? And when they come in, one of the things that I counsel them on is I say, listen, your brain might be a lot younger than your body. And sometimes the brain
yes, yes,
talks the body into doing things they shouldn't do.
Absolutely.
I had an 85-year-old guy that was up cleaning the leaves out of his gutter.
Ooh,
okay.
Ooh.
And his balance wasn't as good, you know, as it was years ago. And his bones weren't quite as strong. Even though he wasn't an invalid, he,
yeah,
was, you know, in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
But he just wasn't what he was. He fell down.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
And of course, falling down and hurting yourself, the body just took an enormous amount of time to heal.
Yeah.
And he was on some other medicines that thin out his blood. So it wasn't such a good sight. So as we get older, you know, we have to go at 50 instead of 80.
Mm-hmm.
We actually get better gas mileage. And we have to realize that we shouldn't take the chances, you know, walking up stairs, you know, make sure we have something to hold on to.
Yes.
You know, we shouldn't take the chances that we have, because our bodies, if we do fall and hurt ourselves, we're not as has the ability to recover as well as heal as well. But also, sometimes when you're young, you know, you can get away with a lot because you're strong and you can bounce back up and do things. Well, as we age, that ability slowly deteriorates over time. So I think we have to be more careful about everything. And that's not only, you know, falling and that. It's about everything that we do, everything that we think. All these inputs we have carry risks. And the more negative inputs we have on our body, as it ages, it has a greater impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you might be able to get away with something when you're younger, but when you're older and you try something that's not so smart, the implications are much more pronounced.
Tell us about calcium, Dr. Markham. Yeah. We hear about calcium all the time. One question is, what's a good source of calcium for our bones?
Yeah, well, you know, calcium is a big deal because everyone's talked about calcium in the bone. It's essential to bone health. The average amount that we need is about 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams a day, mm-hmm. okay? And a lot of people that have weak bones, you know, the doctors say, well, let's take a calcium supplement mm-hmm. or let's put them on a bone shot. Well, I'm one that does not think that that is the best way to build calcium. I think the best way to build calcium in the bones is to eat healthy foods and do lots of exercises. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, I can't get enough calcium without eating, you know, taking a supplement, or I can't get enough calcium without eating dairy products. Mm-hmm. I hear that a lot of times, but that is just not true, Charles. Let me give you some ideas of different foods that have calcium in them, okay. you know. One cup of orange juice has 350 milligrams of calcium. Hmm. That's almost one-fourth of our daily need, in one glass of orange juice. Tofu, that's a great source of calcium. Now, my favorite is greens. Yes. Greens, collard greens, spinach, all of those have great amounts of calcium in them. All browns, oats, oatmeal, that has calcium in it. One slice of whole wheat bread has calcium in it. Almonds have calcium in it. Kale is another good source of calcium. Oranges, those beans that we eat, those shelled edamame beans.
Oh, yes.
They're loaded with calcium. Broccoli has lots of calcium. So there's lots of different foods out there that are in our normal diet that not only has calcium, but it has fibers in it, a lot of good other things that we can take besides supplements. Now, some people might have to take a calcium supplement, but it's very, very few in my book. Well, who might need to take a calcium supplement? Well, basically, only those people that can't eat it in their diet or refuse to eat it in their diet.
Right.
But the problem with calcium supplements aren't absorbed as well. So they're not absorbed as well as you would get when you eat the food in its natural state. So those are a bunch of great foods that have calcium in it that people can get right away. And if they get that in them, that will build up their bones. They start doing some exercises, and this is heading in the right direction. But also, we don't want to forget vitamin D as well, Charles.
Yes, absolutely. Vitamin D. Get out there in that sunshine or take a supplement of that as well, I'm understanding.
Yeah. Now, Charles, if you don't get outside for 30 minutes about 3 days a week, you might need a little vitamin D supplementation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we know that vitamin D is essential because without vitamin D, you don't absorb calcium.
Yes.
So vitamin D will lower the risk, and it helps also. Vitamin D helps build muscles, helps increase muscle mass, and lots of things. And vitamin D, they can measure that in a blood work, or you can get a vitamin D3 if you don't get outside in the sun very much. So that is also very important to do that.
All right. I'm understanding here now. We need lots of weight-bearing exercises for our bones. We need lots of calcium from plant sources for our bones. And if we're 80 years old, we need to hire someone else to clean our gutters. Am I on the right track here?
You're on the right track. But, you know, we also need to talk about things that we do that break down our bone if we have time, Charles. Do we have a little second?
We just have 45 seconds. You can talk.
I'm going to mention this. Okay. We know that people that eat a high-protein, high-fat diet, that makes our diet more acidic. When it gets more acidic, we more likely pull calcium out of bones and make them weaker. So we want to eat what we call an alkaline diet, a diet rich of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. Moving towards a plant-based diet is where we want to head. That will help us from leaching calcium from our own bones. Some medicines can pull calcium out of bones, too. The antacids are high in that list.
All right. Very good. Lots of good information for us today. Dr. Markham, thank you so much for sharing with us today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Charles.
And until next time, listener, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain heart and bone wise. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.